Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of First Take. You are usually accustomed to seeing somebody considerably better looking than me hosting this show. Her name is Molly Karen Rose, but we're having technical difficulties. She'll be here with us in short order, hopefully. But for the time being, we've got my man Jay Williams. We've got Kendrick Perkins. We've got some NBA topics to get into. And KP, Jay Will, let me let you know the rules. Whenever I am hosting this show, you will speak when spoken to. You will zip it when I tell you to, because I'm the moderator. I'm sitting in the boss's chair right now. Kendrick Perkins, you can look all mean all you want to with the glistening beard. You don't scare me. Jay Williams, with your intellectual self, you mind your manners and speak when you are spoken to, okay? As long as we understand those rules, we'll all be just fine. Got an NBA topic to get into. Let's go to the videotape. We saw what transpired last night in the bubble in Orlando. The Houston Rockets went up against the Milwaukee Bucks, the number one seed, going up against a title contender in the Houston Rockets, the James Harden Greek freak sit up that encounter that we've talked about. Bottom line is this: the Houston Rockets ultimately came back in the last 2.5 minutes, ended up winning the game. When we talk about this, what do we peel away from this game, fellas? Is it a big deal that the Houston Rockets won or that the Milwaukee Bucks lost? Kendrick Perkins, you may start.
It's a big deal that the Bucks lost, Stephen A. Because listen, the Bucks out-rebounded the Rockets by 29. The Rockets missed 43-point shots. To me, when I'm looking at this Bucks, they have lost their identity, not on the offensive end, but on the defensive end. They're a team that take pride in their defense. And listen, the Rockets had wide open looks. I could count several times P.J. Tucker had wide open corner threes that he just didn't knock down. And then, by the way, when you look at it, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, they had monster nights, even Giannis. It was no way the Rockets should have won that game, but the Rockets hung their hats late in the fourth quarter on the defensive end. By the way, James Harden locking up Giannis, taking on the challenge. Russell Westbrook attacking Giannis on the other end, getting to the free throw line, saying you can't guard me, basically going down, knocking down clutch free throws. So I'm looking at this Milwaukee Bucks team, and it's a big deal because they should have lost to the Boston Celtics on Friday night, but of course they had that controversial call that should have been a charge that they didn't give to Giannis, and that's what changed the whole game. So I'm looking at the Milwaukee Bucks, and I got a concern. It's a big deal because they're losing their identity on the defensive end.
Perk, what are you talking about? What are we talking? We're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks? We're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks team that is the number one overall seed that still doesn't have two of its prime perimeter defenders on the court, and Pat Connaughton and Eric Bledsoe. Now, I know Eric Bledsoe has some questions as it relates to his jump shooting ability. We saw that last year in the playoffs. But still, think about the two teams they just competed against. What do both those teams have? They are both guard heavy. Boston Celtics, obviously Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker. You have additive bodies to throw at those individuals. Those bodies were not accessible for the Milwaukee Bucks with Connaughton and Bledsoe. It's the same with James Harden and Russell Westbrook the other night. It's the same. You can throw extra bodies. I don't think this is a big indictment on the Milwaukee Bucks. I think this says more about the Houston Rockets, who are creeping up on that third seed. They're one game behind Denver. And the question is, they took 61 threes last night, Perk. 61 threes. I think that tied an NBA record. This small ball effect with James Harden, who still didn't play to the level we know he can play at, their ability with small ball, if they catch the right seed, if they're able to get the Lakers, I don't think that matchup against the Clippers are going to be great. But if they're able to get the Lakers with the size the Lakers have, they're going to force the Lakers to play small basketball. And that seeding is going to be so important for the Houston Rockets. So I don't want to sit up here and hear you say that the Milwaukee Bucks, they have questions because they're missing two of their players. It's more of an indictment on the Houston Rockets.
I don't care what you want to hear. I don't care what you want to hear, Jay Will. I'm speaking the facts. You don't dominate the rebounding margin and have a team.
Alternative facts. That's what you're speaking, Per. Alternative facts.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. What happened was the Rockets, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden down the stretch said we about to turn it up another gear. And by the way, both of you can say, yes, they're missing Eric Bledsoe and all that. But guess what? Both of those teams had their Batmans and Robins, their duos on the court at the same time, so it's no excuses. The Giannis and the Bucks should have closed out that game, and they didn't. The Rockets' willpower, Russell Westbrook, Mamba mentality is rubbing off on James Harden. Big deal that the Bucks lost that game, period, point blank.
Well, first of all, there's a couple of characters. There's a couple of characters that exist on this show, Kedrick Perkins. There's a couple of characters that exist on this show. One would be Southern Steve. The other would be Stephen Naismith. And Stephen Naismith is going to chime in here because I got to agree with my brother Jay Will, Kedrick Perkins. I think he's absolutely right on the money.
Oh, my God.
You're the Houston Rockets. You miss 43-pointers. You get out-rebounded by 29. And you still win this game because Russell Westbrook, being the stud that he is creating opportunities on the perimeter for other dudes. James Harden didn't even have his greatest game, and Houston still ended up winning this game. I think this is a big deal for the Houston Rockets. I think they've put everybody on notice. This encounter that we've all been looking forward to all year long between the Lakers and the Clippers. Jay Will's absolutely right. If Houston ends up running into the Los Angeles Lakers, Houston, we might have a problem in a good way because Houston might knock them off. We can't rule anything out based on what we see.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Stephen A. Smith, the other character on here. I just said on the get up to Greeny that the surprise team, well, not surprise team, but the team that I was most proud of this weekend was the Houston Rockets because of the two big wins that they had. That was a huge win.
You're agreeing with us.
I'm not knocking that. I'm telling you, if I'm the Bucks, they lost their identity on the defensive end. You can say what you want. They're ranked number one defensively, and they haven't shown that. That's all I'm saying. Russell Westbrook was getting in the paint at will, like you said, creating for others. And we're talking about the best team in the league. We're talking about the MVP. That's what we're talking about. Yes, I have concerns. It's a big deal.
Perk, where do the Houston Rockets play? What conference are they in?
They're in the Western Conference.
Okay, so the teams in Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics, the Raptors, you and I talked about the Raptors before. Do you see Milwaukee getting to the Eastern Conference Finals? Are you worried about Milwaukee getting to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yes, I am, because they're going to have to probably face the Miami Heat. I am worried, and I don't believe that they could beat the Miami Heat. And I think someone else on this show feel the same way, Mr. J. Will.
Perk,
you're telling me
on national TV, you're going to take the Miami. Stephen A. Smith, I want us to duly note this on national TV. So, Perk, you're telling me that if the Miami Heat face the Milwaukee Bucks, you are taking the Miami Heat to beat the Milwaukee Bucks to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what you're saying.
Yes, J. Will, yes. I'm standing here one deep. Okay. In my house in Houston, Texas, telling you that if they face the Miami Heat, I like the Miami Heat chances on beating the Milwaukee Bucks. That's your answer. That's my answer.
Okay.
You got it?
Oh,
now, Stephen
right.
A, can you chime
all
in?
Right. I got it now. I'm gonna hold your feet to the fire on that.
Well,
that's fine.
I don't agree with that, KP, but I will say that I think that Miami is a bona fide threat against Milwaukee. They've beaten them in the two meetings they faced each other this year. They've got perimeter shooting. If they get hot, they can definitely take Milwaukee out. But my money's still on Milwaukee in that series, probably in six games. That's how I view it. But in the end, getting back to Houston, what I'm saying is this. Russell Westbrook, the way that he is playing right now, he's not even trying to attempt that many threes anymore, which is a beautiful thing because he's looking to attack the basket. He's reading defenses. He's seeing opportunities to kick it out to open shooters, and D'Antoni's got them surrounded. And I understand that you said this on Get Up, but this is First Take, baby. So the bottom line is I might have missed that, KP, but in the end, what it comes down to is this. When you look at the way they played defense, they were down 112-106. And what did they go on, like a 14-2 run, something along those lines, 14-4 run? I couldn't say enough about their defensive prowess over the last 3 minutes or so, 2.5 minutes. I didn't expect to see that from Houston. And if they can get stops, Lord have mercy, because I don't see anybody stopping them offensively. But the Clippers.
All right. I'm back, guys. Stephen A., you did a tremendous job playing center and the point, but now you only got to focus on center. Hey, Perk, we're out of time, buddy. Appreciate you. You're sticking around. Just in case people don't know, Max Kellerman is off today. It's going to be Stephen A. versus everybody. We got a cast of characters, good talent rolling in throughout the show.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. In the NFL, we are now up to 43 players who have opted out. They may now have until Wednesday to make a final decision, and obviously no bubble plan like the NBA, but it's not just the players we're worried about. Eagles coach Doug Peterson tested positive for the coronavirus. He's the second coach who has contracted the virus. Sean Payton did as well, but that was back in March. Reports say Peterson is feeling just fine. Lewis Riddick here with us. Good to have you, Lewis. Stephen A., I'll start with you here. Is this an indication that the NFL season is truly in trouble?
No. Not to me. I don't believe that I'm not one of those people who believes that the NFL season is in trouble, regardless of the griping and the complaining that we're hearing from players for the most part. It's not that their complaints are not legit. The NFL definitely needs to be on top of things. Safety measures, safety protocols need to be at the top of the list. We all get that. We all understand that. But in the end, this is big business, and those owners and the league itself are not going to lose billions upon billions of dollars. And the reason why I emphasize, particularly in a sport like the NFL, Lewis, is because injuries occur all the time. Now, obviously, this is far more, this is potentially more deadlier than an injury, and we do understand that. I'm just pointing that out. The injury perspective, that is because if there is a league that is accustomed to going on next man up, having that kind of mentality, it's the National Football League. Guys get hurt every week. They're missing games every single week. These are the kind of things that happen. Now, is there more that the National Football League can do and needs to do? Absolutely. I think there should be a bubble kind of atmosphere, but not similar to the NBA, for example. I'm not saying that everybody should be in one place, but just like you show up to training camp and you are at an NFL facility, a team facility, I think you should be restricted to that during the NFL season, and then you can work out visitation on the part of family members and things of that nature, something to upgrade the level of safety that needs to obviously be implemented. But in the end, I think that the NFL is thinking of it from the standpoint that there is no preseason that has been canceled. And as a result, we've got some time to get our bearings under us because every single day we keep hearing something new about the coronavirus and what things have been transpiring, where the spikes are, where they're not occurring, some of the practices and the protocols that have been implemented, what's working effectively, what is not, et cetera, et cetera. And I think right now they're biding their time so that they're trying to wait for the last minute possible to institute whatever's necessary so once the regular season begins, you don't have to worry about it being interrupted. I think that's their intent. I think that's their goal. I think that they're going to be pretty much fixed on that. And I don't think that anything outside of literally government interference, where we've got the medical professionals and the federal government collaborating to shut down the sport, I literally believe that is the only thing that will stop this sport from moving forward and starting its regular season on time and, dare I say, completing it. That's how I view things.
Yeah, I by and large agree 100% with you, Stephen A. And let me just start off by saying, look, from what I hear, Doug Peterson right now is not experiencing any symptoms. He's doing real well, and look, he's a good friend of mine, someone who I respect immensely. But it is serious. It makes you sit up and take notice and say, hey, look, these are the kind of things that member clubs were worried about. These are the kind of things that they expected, but when it happens, it really does, it kind of takes your breath away for a minute and you go, okay, hey, let's just figure out and make sure everything's going okay here and that he is going to be okay long term, you know, before we just dismiss it and go, hey, well, it's just one person. Well, you know, Doug Peterson carries a lot of weight in this league. This is a Super Bowl winning coach, and we're talking about an individual's life and their long-term health, so that is a big deal. That being said, I think the individual clubs are doing a good job, at least, you know, according to what I have heard and the people who I talk to, as far as continuing to perfect and kind of really dial in on these procedures and protocols and really keep everyone's feet to the fire as far as doing the right thing. This is a season about trust, Molly, Stephen A. It really is, more so than any other season, a season about trust, not just what you do in the building and on the football field, but in particular what you're doing away from the football field. And the league is going to great lengths to not only educate the players and the coaches and the football staff, but they're going to great lengths to really educate their families, allow their families the opportunity to ask questions about what exactly is in place as far as procedures for my loved ones who are actually coming into the facilities and playing this sport. What procedures are in place to protect them? What procedures do I need to be following at home in order to protect myself and my loved one that is participating in the NFL? And there are some absolutely, you know, just tremendous, tremendous trainers and doctors who are working day and night to try and make sure that this stays on track. They are prepared, though. They know there's going to be positives. They know that there could potentially be more opt-outs. They know that they have to have contingency plans, not only for if the head coach gets sick like Doug Peterson got sick, but if offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches, trainers, support staff, if those people get sick, who is next in line? If the GM got sick, if the director of player personnel got sick, the pro director, the college director, they're having to prepare for so many different contingencies. And it is a huge, huge undertaking. But they are committed to trying to make this work. They are committed to making sure that they are testing regularly and making sure as soon as something crops up, they're able to contain it so it doesn't just go widespread and just derail the whole thing. Because Stephen A. is right. There is a lot of money at stake. A lot of money. And I know we don't like to really reference that in the middle of a pandemic, but that's just the way it is. That's really what it is. It's big business, just like it's big business in college. That's why this stuff continues to be pushed forward, because people could stand to lose a lot of money if it doesn't get played. So in the NFL, I know in particular, in my area that I know the most people, they're doing everything they can. The players have a right to question everything that's being done. The players have a right, like, you know, like Devin McCourty just said the other day, to have enough time to make informed decisions about whether they need to opt out. And the NFL needs to be respectful of that. They need to work together. That's the key going forward to this season in order to keep it on track. The players, the players union, and the owners need to work together. You cannot be butting heads about things going into this season. You just can't, especially not on this issue.
Louis Riddick, I completely 1,000% agree with you, and I appreciate the point about economics that you've brought up, because I've been bringing it up on several occasions, and I'm dead serious about this. Certainly, again, safety protocols have to be exhausted. We understand that. The health and well-being of the athletes themselves and everybody involved, coaches and beyond, the bottom line is you've got to prioritize safety. But we throw aside economics like it shouldn't matter, but the reality is it always does. Yes, we've got folks, I hate to break break it to people. But you know what? We've got folks working in the supermarkets. How much money are they making? We've got medical professionals working. How much money are they making? We've got law enforcement officials, firemen and others that are working. How much money are they making? They're putting themselves on the line, their health on the line, their lives on the line every single day. Now, obviously, when you think about athletes themselves and the actual sports that are being played, what I get tired of is folks saying, you know what, the games are not that important. I've never brought up the game. What I brought up is who the game employs, because there's a multitude of people that are employed, thousands upon thousands of people that are employed by these leagues. And I got news for everybody in America and beyond. Let's take into account these billionaire owners that want to make their money. Excuse me, there are people who are not billionaires, not even millionaires, hell, not even thousandaires, that are working under these folks that are getting paid and relying upon the league and the games themselves about a check. I recently saw a report where in college football, let's say, for example, Alabama doesn't have a football season and they don't play. Guess what? It's projected to cost the local economy in Tuscaloosa in excess of $200 million. How many people do you think are going to lose their jobs if those games don't take place? These are the kind of things that are an absolute reality. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you can't just look at professional football or any professional sport that matters. I ain't even bring up college, but especially in the realm of professional sports, you can't just look at it and say, you know something, the games are not that important. It's not about the game. It's about people's livelihood and quality of life, because whether we like it or not, there are some people that would rather, regardless of how dangerous it is, and they know it's dangerous and they're scared as hell, but they would rather go out there and embrace the challenge of trying to maintain or elevate their quality of life rather than staying at home indefinitely while we wait for a vaccine or some kind of therapeutic treatment and watch our quality of life disintegrate before our very eyes. That is the reality that everybody has to embrace. And I'm sure you agree with me, Lewis.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, fellas, some had concerns with the Lakers after they didn't defeat the Clippers more handily without Lou Will or Montrezl Harrell. But then more eyebrows raised when the Raptors beat them by 15 on Saturday night. LA is favored to win it all and are now 1-1 in this restart. Kendrick Perkins, Jay Williams back here with us. Stephen A., talk to me. How concerned are you right now by these Lakers?
I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't like their three-point shooting. Number two, I didn't like the fact that they had to squeeze by the Los Angeles Clippers, even though the Clippers didn't have Harrell or Lou Williams. And number three, the Toronto Raptors gave it to them the other night. I'm looking at Anunoby, who played well. Kyle Lowry put on the show. I'm looking at guys like Danny Green playing 19 minutes, not scoring a single point. JR only played 7 minutes, not scoring a single point. I'm worried about who does LeBron James and Anthony Davis have to rely upon as the competition becomes stiffer and stiffer come playoff time? Now, obviously, I'm not going to jump off some ship because LeBron James in playoff action is LeBron James, and he can figure things out, create mismatches and things of that nature. I'm just saying the bottom line is somebody's got to step up and help him and Anthony Davis. I'm not worried about Anthony Davis, measly 14 points in 35 minutes and stuff like that. We know that's not a regular with him. That is clearly an aberration. I'm just simply saying that you've got to show me something other than just Anthony Davis and LeBron James if you're going to beat a Houston Rockets or a Los Angeles Clippers squad. That's where my concern with the Lakers come in. The fact that they don't have Avery Bradley, a tenacious on-ball defender who can hit some spot-up threes. Obviously, Rondo, he's out for a while. That puts more of an onus on LeBron James. I'm just looking at the depth of the Los Angeles Clippers and the way the Rockets come at you. And I'm saying to myself, there is cause to pause and to be very, very concerned about the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, it's just a couple of games after a nearly five-month break. We all get that. But it's a short window to get ready and to answer the call. And those teams, along with the Torontos of the world and others, appear to be more ready than what I'm seeing from the Los Angeles Lakers right now.
Well, I'm not worried at all. When we talk about LeBron James, one of the greatest of all time, we know when he go blackout mode and he shut down his social media, he turns on a switch, a light switch that no one in the NBA could match. He goes straight into beast mode. And then we're talking about a guy, Anthony Davis, a generation of talent, one of one, a guy that we've never seen before, versatile big, does it on both ends. Here it is. The Lakers have the most championship experience out of any other team in the league. Now, you talked about Danny Green, Stephen A., but we all know that Danny Green will step up in the big moment. He's done it on multiple occasions to help teams win championships. I'm looking at Deion Waiters, who deserves more minutes. I believe he should be playing 25 to 30 minutes a game because he's a guy that not only could create for himself, but create for others. And Kyle Kuzma, finding his niche. He's had a 25-point night. He's been doing well. J.R. Smith. And let's not leave out Caldwell Pope, who's been playing pretty good. He's played pretty good on the defensive end, and he stretches the floor and knocks down. And they still have 2 7-footers that are jumping off of trampolines that could protect the paint, and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. So when I'm looking at this Laker team and the leadership of LeBron James, the greatest of all time, I have zero concerns when it comes down to the postseason.
Come on, Pert. I mean, let's be objective here. Zero concerns? And you can at least have some concerns, even though that you still have them favored to win the whole thing. We don't have to be that extreme here. LeBron James averages 10 assists per game. He is their major facilitator. After he can't facilitate anymore, who else can lead that? And that's a major question that you have for the Lakers. You know, not having Rajon Rondo, who was second on this team in assists per game, who was such an orchestrator being out there on the court. Not having Avery Bradley, that not only applies great ball pressure, but still can make good decisions here or there. Now, I'm not saying that Alex Caruso isn't a very talented player. I love Alex Caruso. But you don't have somebody that can make the game easier for everybody else. Right, Deion Waiters, you say he needs more minutes. I agree with you. But Deion Waiters is looking to attack and score the rock for himself. J.R. Smith looking to attack and score the rock for himself. AD, more,
that's
but
not
you know
true.
He's on the wing sometimes, still looking to put the ball down the ground.
That's not
well,
true.
Well, I'm just saying, but they're not known for doing it. It's more hockey passes that the Lakers
but they've
have
been,
to do.
But no, my question that's, is, but when, they're not.
Hold on, Perk. Let go me ahead. Finish that. Let me finish now. All I'm saying is when it comes down to the stretch, not having somebody else that can make the game easier on LeBron makes LeBron have to carry so much of the load. And if he does have to go through the Clippers, not only are you asking him to defend all the time, you're also asking him now to be the guy that carries his team offensively almost each and every other possession to make the game easier. That's a lot of weight for LeBron James to carry at this stage of his career. I'm not saying he can't do it, but it has to give you some concern when you think about it. You can't have zero concerns and say that on national TV.
Well,
but excuse
Perk,
me, Jay
Perk,
Will.
Let me say,
well, go ahead, Stephen A.
I said, let me say something to you, Perk. I mean, you know, you usually look very, very annoyed when people disagree with you. So I've got bad news for you. You're going to have a very, very bad day today because right now you've been disagreed upon a couple of times, okay? So it's not just Jay aggravating you. It's me, too. Here's the deal, Perk. Here's the problem with what you're saying about LeBron. And I'm not saying you're wrong because LeBron, I believe in them. Don't get me wrong. But my point to you is, have you ever listened to you talk about James Harden? Have you ever listened to you talk about Russell Westbrook? Hmm. Have you ever listened to yourself talk about these guys? You speak about them in incredibly, incredibly glowing fashion. My point to you is, Perk, they going up against LeBron. So the very things that you say about LeBron, you've been saying about them too. So as a result of that, I mean, what you gonna do?
Get him.
Because if LeBron doesn't have any help, if LeBron is the facilitator that Jay pointed out, what happens when he kicks it to these other guys and they don't step up the way LeBron is capable of stepping up? What's he gonna do?
Well, Stephen A., first of all, who's to say right now the Rockets are in the third seed? So if the playoffs was to start today and they make it to the second round, they will be playing the Clippers. So to your point, I
if they play
give
the Clippers,
other people
yeah.
flowers. That's not – yeah, I can give other people flowers, but the question is do I have concerns about the Lakers? And I don't. That's why they traded for another top five player in the league, Anthony Davis, who's capable of giving you 40 points, 20 rebounds, 8 blocks and 5 assists and 4 steals. He's a certified bat, a Robin, who's really a Batman, but that can get the job done.
Well, James Harden's giving you 36.
That's
And Russell giving you 27.
Russell Westbrook ain't a certified Robin.
Okay, but what are we talking about here? The concerns are the Lakers, okay? So at the end of the day, how many minutes in the playoffs do you think LeBron James is going to play? He's going to play 40-plus? So you're talking about 8
point.
Minutes of the game that he's sitting on the bench?
Plus.
That's my point when I told – and Jay Will, you was on here the one praising just a couple weeks ago. You were sitting up here praising Deion Waiters and saying how it was a great pickup and how he could create for himself and others. And if you've been watching the scrimmages, he's been averaging over 5 assists. He's been dishing out the ball. Have you been watching him in the bubble? He's been making plays for us.
Yes, I've been watching.
I've been sitting on my couch watching the game. Okay, so have he not been throwing lobs at the rim? Have he not been driving to the paint, kicking out for 3-point shots? That's called creating for others. So what are you talking about?
Perk, all I'm going to say is we're talking about 8 games that are regular season games. That's fine for Deion Waiters to do this in the regular season. You and I both know, same with SA, that when it comes time for the playoffs and the density in the air thickens, we'll see how Deion Waiters handles that pressure along with J.R. Smith. Somebody else needs to step up consistently and be that guy. And that's going to be a major question for the Lakers. Who's going to be besides LeBron?
You act like Deion Waiters is not battle tested. Last time I checked, he has went to a Western Conference Finals. He did perform well with OKC, although they lost to the Golden State Warriors when they blew the 3-1 lead. Deion Waiters is battle-tested, Jay Will. Let's not act like he haven't been to the finals and advanced in the playoffs. What are we talking about?
I love Fired Up Perk. Fired Up Perk. Hold on for a minute. I just want to say this. Yeah, go ahead. What's up, Stephen A?
I'm just very, very shocked, Molly, that you haven't called Kendrick Perkins out for treating me and Jay like we Max Kellerman. He usually reserves that scowl for Max Kellerman. I don't understand why he acted that way.
Big Perk always brings
it. I'm just saying.
That's how y'all trying to treat me.
Big Perk's aggressive.
That's how y'all treat me today. Can I just say this real quickly?
Can I just get in a word real quick? I get that the focus is on the Lakers. They put up season lows. It's concerning. But let's just give a quick shout out to the Raptors because they look tremendous. They've had the best record in the NBA since January. Mm-hmm. They take on the Heat today. We'll see if they can keep that up. All right, guys, let's get in a break here. When we come back,
give that shout out to the Raptors. I'd rather give that shout out to you for those glasses. They look really nice.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying. All right.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.